This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler, heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. Welcome to the program with a unique focus on helping Canadians avoid probate. The one thing everyone should know about probate is that it's not inevitable. With some planning and good advice, you can avoid the exhausting, expensive, and time-consuming probate process and have your affairs settled quickly and privately. Speaking of good advice, here are your hosts of Avoid Probate.
Good morning, Zoomer listeners. Welcome to the Avoid Probate Show on this special Sunday morning. Jason Laidler here with the world-famous Ted Walshin. Good morning, Mr. Walshin. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you, Jason. And how about yourself?
I'm good, thanks. Or should I say birthday boy? Would that be more accurate?
In a couple of days, it will be, yes.
Yeah. Happy birthday early, Ted.
Thank you.
Only a couple days away. It's a big one. Can we share with the audience?
Yes. Sure. I have nothing to be embarrassed about.
The big 7-0.
Big 7-0.
In a couple of days' time.
Yes, and I know friends who have turned and are about to turn 70 are like, oh my God, 70. And I said, well, you know, would you prefer the alternative?
That's right. Well, I don't know. Is the alternative 35? Because if that's the alternative, then maybe I would.
Well, the alternative is you don't make 70.
It's not turning 70. I get it.
Yeah exactly.
Well, you're looking good, Ted, for a man who's 2 days away.
Thank you. Yeah,
70 years old.
I know. Yeah. I have this fear that I'm going to wake up Tuesday morning, look in the mirror, and go, "Oh my God, look how old he is."
Yeah,
I'll have aged 15 years overnight. You know.
And in your, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're in your 50th year of radio, right? Work on radio.
Yes, it'll be 50 years in April. So I'm in my 50th year.
Yeah, you're in your 50th year.
Yes.
Well, you've probably seen this before, Ted, but I just thought it'd be kind of fun. I hadn't seen it before. I just did a quick online search for headlines in 1953.
Uh-huh.
And I was quite surprised and interested to see the results. We'll go through a couple of them real quick. The U.S. and North Korea signed the armistice, ending the Korean War.
Mm.
1953, yeah.
And beginning of the television show MASH.
Yeah, I don't know how long that war lasted. Do you know, roughly?
No, I don't. I actually don't know.
It was more than a year, though, right?
I think it was maybe like 4 or 5 years.
Wow, yeah, okay. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was long. I think it was long, too. Marshal Tito is elected president of Yugoslavia. Well, the former Yugoslavia, right? Joseph Stalin died in 1953.
Excellent. Yeah. There's a reason to celebrate right there.
There you go. Yeah, lots happened in your lifetime, Ted. Queen Elizabeth II of Great Britain, of course, was crowned. Mm-hmm. I think that was February. I'm not sure of the month. I kind of think it was. I could be wrong on that. The USSR exploded a hydrogen bomb. Mm-hmm. Of course, in 53, the U.S. had already done that a couple of times, right? Because that ended the war in Japan in 45, I guess it was. And the last item on this list, also interesting, Edmund Hillary and is it Tenzing Norgay are the first to climb Mount Everest.
You know, and that's the first time I've ever heard, and pardon my ignorance, but that is the first time I've heard anybody's name associated with climbing Mount Everest other than Edmund Hillary.
Okay. Yeah. Me too.
I mean, normally people say, yeah, Hillary climbed Mount Everest. If you ask the average person, who is Tenzing Norgay, they'd say, what?
Yeah. Who? Well, I mean, how can they both be I guess, do they do it together?
Well, they must have.
I guess.
Yes, I don't know. I mean.
Was that ever on your bucket list, Ted, to climb Mount Everest?
I have a fear of heights. So what do you think the odds are of me wanting to climb Mount Everest?
I have a fear of lack of oxygen.
Well, there's that too, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't, no, I know. Oh, he was the Sherpa.
Oh, our
Colin is telling me here he was the Sherpa. Well, that makes sense.
That does make sense.
Because you don't climb, you don't take on tasks like that, by yourself. See, the Sherpas, I mean, they get shortchanged.
I was just thinking that. If the Sherpas are climbing it all day long, every day, then what's the big deal that Edmund Hillary climbed it?
Well, no, true. Yeah. So if Tenzing probably did it before, so...
Probably.
And then Hillary wouldn't be the first guy to climb Mount Everest if a Sherpa had done it beforehand.
Look at us rewriting history on the Avoid Probate
show. And he gets knighted over that. He's Sir Edmund Hillary, correct?
Probably.
And what's Tenzing? He wasn't knighted.
Probably not. Don't know. We'll have to leave that for our listeners to research. And
see, that's what the Sherpas need, a good union.
The Sherpa union. Yeah, it's very powerful, I hear.
Yeah.
The teacher's got nothing.
Thank you for that trip down memory lane from 70 years ago this day.
Yeah,
I'm sure. Meanwhile, coming up on this day here in the year 2023, of course, as usual, solving the probate puzzle with Debbie Stanley from ETP Canada. She'll be along shortly to join us. The ever popular email bag will be around again this week. And we're going to follow up about FHSA.
Yeah.
From last week.
Only because we had mixed reviews on that. I don't normally follow up. I'm not going to repeat everything, obviously, but I do want to follow up on it a little bit and answer a couple questions that came in on that new type of account for saving for a house. And there is an email bag. We'll get to that, of course, the ever popular email bag. I think we should explain before we go to the break, Ted, that this is our last show before Christmas.
Yes.
Because the station will be airing Christmas music on the Sunday that we normally would be airing.
Next Sunday, the 24th.
Yeah, thank you. A week today, Christmas Eve. So there will not be an Avoid Probate show on Christmas Eve. It's not our last show of the year. We'll be back. I think, is it New Year's Eve, I guess? I don't have the calendar in front of me.
31st. Well, add 7 to 24 and you get 31.
It's too early in the morning, Ted. Come on. Anyway. It's not our last show of the year, but it is our last show before Christmas. So we'll talk about some Christmas stuff, I hope. We'll try to keep it light and fluffy a little bit because of the Christmas spirit.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that said, we will take our first break in the morning. We'll come right back on the Avoid Probate Show. Don't go away.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
Hi there, this is Jason Laidler from the Avoid Probate Show, and I'm pleased to say I'm having a quick conversation to introduce my friend Paul Portman from Portman Law, who is a regular contributor to the Avoid Probate Show. He's one of the lawyers on the team at avoidprobate.ca. Paul, how are you?
Good, Jason. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So you're one of the lawyers on the team because you have an expertise in law, specifically in what part?
So I specialize in estate law, litigation, and bear trusts. I do quite a bit of work in that area.
And I'm glad you mentioned bear trust because we often talk on the Avoid Probate Show about how a bear trust can help avoid the probate on property, correct?
That's right.
And it's widely misunderstood, but it's something that you're able to help our listeners figure out and avoid the probate on their house, cottage, commercial property, whatever it might be, right?
That's correct, yeah.
And how does it work? Like, in a nutshell, the way the bear trust is set up, tell us real quick.
Yeah, so a bear trust, in a lot of ways, is like any other trust agreement. The major difference between a regular trust agreement and a bear trust is that the bear trustee doesn't really have any powers in relation to the trust. They can't really do anything other than what's explicitly in the bear trust agreement. And the bear trust agreement doesn't say anything other than they're holding legal title.
So really, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't create a tax event. It just simply avoids the probate nightmare.
That's correct.
Okay, and if listeners want to contact you directly, I mean, they can always reach you through us at avoidprobate.ca, but if they want to contact you directly, the best way to reach you is what?
They can contact me by email at paul@portmanlaw.ca. That's PORTMANLAW.ca. Or they can contact me by telephone at 647-527-5878.
And it doesn't have to be a bear trust question in particular, any estate question.
you can help them out, correct?
That's right.
All right. Well, thanks for being here today. And I know you've been a guest on the show in the past, and hopefully you'll be a guest in the future. And we will continue to work together to help all the listeners at AM 740 Zoomer Radio who have any estate planning questions. They can call Jason Lather or they can call Paul Portman directly.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of AvoidProbate.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Avoid Probate Show. Don't forget, we welcome your comments and your questions. You can contact us via email. It's info@AvoidProbate.ca, info@AvoidProbate.ca, or you can call us toll-free 1-844-667-7628. That's 1-844-667-7628. It's time for the ever-popular Solving the Probate Puzzle. Debbie Stanley with ETP Canada. Hi, Debbie.
Hello, and happy birthday.
Yes, thank you. Coming up.
Yes. Well, that's exciting. Those are always good things to have.
Yes, they are. Yes, it is. Oh. It's exciting. Old and exciting.
Very, very well for solving the probate puzzle, which sounded like a bit of a tongue twister there today.
I know. I've only been saying it for a year and a half.
We'll get it. I am happy to advise or update everyone that I have sent some money off to the beneficiaries. So we were able to sneak some money out there just before the holidays. They're very happy. And I was very happy. So that's a nice thing to get off my chest right before the end of the year. Now, that brings me to my second point, and I was hoping we could have a discussion about this. At this time of year, it's generally holiday season and parties and gatherings and dinners. And when we're an executor, we're also going to these parties and gatherings and dinners. And what do you think happens to some of these executors who are family members with these beneficiaries?
They get pummeled with questions.
They get pummeled with questions. And sometimes they're sort of outcasted at these parties because maybe the executor wasn't lucky enough to have the timing fall in place that they could be like Santa Claus and give out money at this time of year.
Like you were just now.
Right. I felt great about it. But, you know, the timing, if it was just 1 week later that we started getting some of the information we needed and money that we needed, I wouldn't have been Santa Claus. And that would have been sad for everybody, right? Yeah. Now, the good thing here is I'm a professional and I'm not going to the same holiday parties as my beneficiaries. So I'm not faced with that.
Yeah, but hold on, Debbie. Hold on. You might be if they were all your relatives.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. So about all our listeners out here who maybe are acting as an executor and they're currently dreading that dinner that they're going to go to and they know that their cousin Larry is going to say.
And the drunkle. Don't forget the drunkle.
Yeah. The drunkle. It's a very stressful time of year for an executor. And really? I really wanted to make sure that we covered this because we, are right in the throes of this season. But I would like any listeners out there that are acting as an executor or they're maybe a beneficiary and they are dealing with an executor to really think about this is, stressful time. And maybe it's not the best place to bring up Aunt Mildred's pearls over the turkey dinner.
Yeah.
And the Royal Dalton.
Meanwhile, you got somebody at the party sitting here talking about this vacation that they're about to go on in the Bahamas. And you've got the people that you're representing are going, well, I'd go too if I had any money from the estate, but we don't have any.
Right. And that's exactly what happens. And it is tough times right now, really, for everyone, right? Grocery prices, gas prices, the cost of being a Canadian living here is very expensive. Yeah. So, of course, if you're a beneficiary, you're waiting for that money, you can do things with it. But again, this time of year, I have dealt with so many people this week, our clients, who have said to me, I am dreading Christmas dinner. And I just felt like I needed to bring this up because for a whole week, probably talked to about 30 different executors who have told me this. And I think, well, if they're saying it, that means there's hundreds out there, maybe thousands. Yeah.
Debbie, that is a very profound, interesting point. You know, we've been saying from day one on the Avoid Probate Show, and thanks for joining us on the Avoid Probate Show on a Sunday morning. We've been saying there's no glamour in being the executor. Don't kid yourself. In fact, you know, it can be stressful, but I will admit, Christmas dinner was not something was part of my stressful list. So I'm really glad you're pointing that out for the benefit of the listeners, because it's very real, of course, now that you mention it. And I bet you it's something just people just don't think about. Well, if I'm going to be the executor, do I want to go to Thanksgiving? Do I want to go to Christmas? Do I want, you know, who thinks of these things, right, beforehand?
Yeah, and you don't think of it until you've already had the experience. So these executors who are saying, I'm dreading Christmas dinners because they encountered this issue on Thanksgiving. So they were getting pummeled with questions and all, if I had the money. So they're not dreading Christmas dinner because they have no idea what they're getting into. They've already dealt with this, and it's incredibly tough for an executor to be an executor. And I'd really like to just say, take some time, do some, you know, mental health self-care too. It is okay to say, you know what, now's really not the time. I'd like to spend my time enjoying Christmas dinner with you. We'll talk about this in the new year. Whatever it can be to change that conversation.
Yeah, without making it look like you're just sloughing off their concerns, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Fine line between being polite and caring for yourself and somebody thinking that you just don't care about them.
Right, right. So you know how that saying is, don't talk about religion and politics? Well, maybe during the holiday season, don't talk about estates either.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's a really good point, Debbie. I don't know if you'll recall, because I'm not sure if you were on the show back when Kathy Nagy, a psychologist, was on at this time of the year. And again, with regard to Christmas dinner and family get-togethers, you know, she was saying, to your point, Debbie, it's not the time. Just because the whole family's gathered around the table doesn't mean it's the right time to ambush grandma and talk about her estate plan after, you know, some eggnog and you know what I mean? So It all kind of ties in to what you're saying. And yeah, it's kind of sad what you're talking about, this unfortunate position that the executors are in, who are doing noble work, and let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Most of them are doing the best they can do.
Absolutely. They are absolutely doing the very best that they can with the tools that they have.
Yep. Well, you take care, and we will see you next Sunday. In the meantime, have a great week.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Best way for people to reach you very quickly?
866-309-0387 or www.ETPCanada.
Okay, we're back in a moment. Stay with us.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
It's time to gear up for fall with cool weather fashions from the very cool Kensington Market. Hey, it's Ted Wallace in Fort Tom's Place, where you're invited to check out the latest fall fashions that have just arrived. And since it is Tom's Place, even the new arrivals are on sale. Fall colors, new patterns, fresh designs, designer slim fit suits sold elsewhere for as much as $600, start at only $179 at Tom's Place. Check out Tom's fabulous collection of S. Cohen and other designer suits. Regular, $3 for $1,200, slashed for radio listeners to $1,100. Pick out a couple of sports jackets. Selected sports jackets are now 50% off, plus selected dress and casual pants, 50% off. Play it cool at Tom's Place, 190 Baldwin Street in the heart of Kensington Market. Tom's Place will suit you.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
Well, good morning once again. Welcome back. You're listening to the Avoid Probate Show. And as usual, we invite you to join us here and on our website, which is www.avoidprobate.ca. Go there, you'll find a free probate calculator. You can play around with that. It'll give you an idea roughly how much probate might be payable on your estate or the estate that you're involved with. And there's also a button for anybody who missed a past program. I think Colin may have mentioned that or will mention it. I'm not sure. I can't remember. You can listen to past shows, the ones you've missed or ones that you enjoyed and have a specific reason to want to hear once again. It's just to listen to the show button. So again, it's www.avoidprobate.ca. Check out the probate calculator and check out past episodes as well. Now, last week we discussed something, the initials are FHSA.
Right.
We'll have a little bit more discussion about that this week, Jason.
Yeah, Ted, we don't normally, back-to-back topic like this on the Avoid Probate Show. It is the Avoid Probate Show. Thanks for joining us. If you're just joining us, we're here every Sunday morning, and it's almost Ted's birthday. The first home savings account is something that's new, and we introduced this last week, and I was right when I said last week I expected some good feedback from listeners, and we got great feedback from listeners. We got mixed reviews from listeners. So certainly some people took us up on our suggestion that this could be a great Christmas present for the child or grandchild who has everything, because it is, and if you didn't hear last week's show, I think I just said first home savings account. It's a new way the government has introduced this account to promote and encourage Canadians to save for a home of and they've done this by marrying the TFSA account, which is a tax-free savings account, which, you know, has advantages and reasons to be used, with your RRSP account, your Registered Retirement Savings Plan. They've put these two things together and come up with something called the FHSA account, whereby you get the best of both worlds. So I'm not going to go over all the details of how the account works. That's in last week's show. And as Ted mentioned, if you want to hear that show, it is available as a podcast now, and you can find it on the website. Mm-hmm. But thank you to those listeners who called in to say, yes, great idea, Jason. I want to open up an account as a gift. Again, I just wanted to clarify, because there were some people who were confused by the information. And, you know, I think we've got Colin Gies joining us today. And I know Colin knows something about this FHSA account, and he was part of the phone calls. He helps, you know, process the listeners' calls. He's part of the team, of course. Colin, did you want to say something about this FHSA account?
Yeah, I did just want to jump in, because often when these accounts are launched, like the tax-free savings account or this account, people automatically think of savings accounts as bank accounts, and they're not just exclusive to bank accounts. I was speaking to someone the other day. They ran into their bank. They inquired about opening one of these up, and the bank employee suggested they had really limited options for what the money could go into. And one of the options they suggested was getting into a GIC. And the client, the bank client, said, okay, well, what are your rates? And they suggested a 5-year locked-in rate, or even a 3-year, because the rate of return is higher the longer you lock that money in. And the individual said, well, what if I find a house? Is it cashable? And they said, no, there's a penalty, obviously, if you break the locked-in contract of the GIC. You don't receive the full return that they're selling to you if you cash it out early. And I thought, what a brutal situation to put someone in. You know that they're saving for to purchase a home. The housing market is hot. There's limited inventory out there. So when people find something, they need to jump at it. No questions about their time horizon or when they're expecting to buy. Just jumped right in to locking in that money. And people need to act quickly when they find a home. So
yeah, great point.
A message to the listeners out there. It's not just about the banks. And be aware that if you're locking into a GIC to get that higher rate of return, If a house comes up and you want to make an offer, you might need to break that contract, and you will not receive the full amount of the return that was sold to you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Great point. Thanks for sharing that. So, yeah, listeners, if you're still confused and if you have questions about the FHSA, please give us a call or shoot us an email. Ted gave you the coordinates on that, how to reach us, and we'd be happy to answer your questions about the FHSA account. I know it's new, and so there's lots of confusion out there, but we can help you with it. We'd love to help you with it, and we'd love to open up a new account for you. And like I said, last minute Christmas shopping. It's not too late. It's getting close to being too late, Ted, but it's not too late yet, right? Okay, let's move on to something. I almost hate to talk about a death claim this time of the year, and I was reluctant to do it. And then I thought, well, Ted, you know, it is reality, right? There are families out there dealing with, you know, sadness at Christmas time. Of course, sometimes it's the first Christmas since someone's passed away. Well, of course, it is for people every year that happens. I want to explain that we had a recent death claim, and we get death claims all the time. I mean, we're in that business. And I've said this before, it sounds weird, but really the death claim is our chance to shine at avoidprobate.ca, because what are we doing here? We're helping people simplify their estate, and in a way that it avoids probate. And probate is only an issue at death. So when we get a death claim, and we're always sad to you know, lose a client, of course, because often our clients are friends. You know, we build long-lasting relationships with our clients. Hopefully, we like to do that. It's a win-win for everybody. And obviously, it's sad when that person passes away, but when we can then step up to the plate and do what we aim to do by making it easy for the loved ones, the executor, the beneficiaries, you know, the people who are still here, we're going to make it easy as possible, because we're avoiding probate, among other things. And that's when these family members and friends are like, wow, thank you for making it easy on us, and not having to be dragged through bureaucratic red tape and jump through hoops for months and months and months. Now, Debbie Stanley has said before on the show that often she hears from her clients once she's done helping them get through probate, because remember, she's acting as the professional executor for people who did not, were not proactive, and they did not avoid it. So she's acting on behalf of those people who have to go through it. And she has said here many times, often when it's finally finished, when the probate is finally done, 6 months, 8 months, 10 months, whatever the number is, they'll say to her, now I can begin to grieve. So if we can wrap things up in 3 weeks, and we can, for sure, if everyone's on, you know, doing what they need to do, we need a death certificate. So if it takes me 3 weeks to get it, well, then it's going to take a little longer to get things processed. But if I get it the next day, you know what I mean? If we're all working together, we can wrap this up real quickly. So I'm dealing with this later on this week. And a couple of reasons I wanted to share this story with the listeners. This individual who's passed, all we had for them, the only account we were managing for them, is a TFSA. So I mentioned, you know, we often manage registered accounts. A TFSA is a type of registered account, even though there's no R. Doesn't say it's registered, like the RSP, you know, first R stands for registered in RSP. First R stands for registered in RIF. TFSA, and to Colin's point a minute ago, you know, he doesn't like the fact that they're called accounts, because it lends people to think it's only available at the bank. And that's not true. We have many, many clients with TFSAs, including this person who just recently passed away. And what is interesting in this case is, well, a couple of things. So they've done very well. I mentioned our clients have done very well this year. And I checked the numbers on this particular TFSA. And just as of the other day, the year-to-date return on this client's TFSA was 9.8%. 0.8, certainly better than any GIC. And of course, it was never locked in because we don't lock in our clients' money. So it's completely accessible anytime. And that 9.8% growth is tax-free, right? Because it's a TFSA. That's what a tax-free savings account is. It means that the growth inside is never taxed. So you know, unlike an RSP, I don't want to get into the details there, but it's interesting, Ted.
Also, like, unlike an RSP, if I may just interject, you can't use it against your taxes, which you can with an RSP.
Correct. That's right. There's no deduction for TFSA contributions like there is for RSP contributions. And that's part of the, that was part of the discussion last week, frankly, when we did the, when we introduced the FHSA account, and I highlighted what, you know, the two accounts were, the details of the TFSA and the RSP and how they, when they came together to create this new account, you know, what that was like. So yeah, Ted's absolutely right about that. So 9.8%, let's call it 10%. Okay. It's 9.8%. Let's call it 10%. I can tell you, and I checked the details on this. On April 12th of 2023, I received instructions from the owner of this TFSA. And I know that it came from his child. His adult child was jittery, had market jitters, was very concerned about the markets, even though this person, because he's under the age of 85, was benefiting from the 100% death benefit guarantee, which we're going to talk about later on in the show. The 100% death benefit guarantee gives you some protection from market fluctuations. And so on April 12th, I got instructions to put half the value of the TFSA in cash. So that's an option, right? The portfolio that we create at the insurance company is never locked in. The money's not locked in, and the portfolio, the investment options, the investment choices are also never locked in, and we can tweak them and change them and adjust them. Sometimes I've got a reason to propose an adjustment, and sometimes a client has a reason to propose an adjustment, and we'll just deal with it as they come. But and that's what happened. Of course, it's the client's money. The client calls the shots. I'm just here to, you know, advise on pros and cons and provide my expertise and why I think this or why I think that. But what can I say? The instructions were clear. They had concerns about market fluctuations. So on April 12th, half the value of this TFSA went to cash. Well, what does that mean? Cash doesn't grow. Cash is like a GIC. Cash is like your checking account. Okay, that's cash. What's your rate of return on your checking account, Ted? 0.001%, maybe. If it pays anything, might not even pay anything. I don't know, to be honest. And of course, I have a checking account too. I don't know what it pays. I should, I guess, but it doesn't matter because it's completely insignificant. So that's what cash does. Cash is a safety. Cash is a safe haven when people are nervous. What I'm getting at is, and then by the way, I did discourage this move to cash, but I have to take my client's instructions in the end, at the end of the day. And so I did the transfer, and despite being 50% in cash, the TFSA still managed a 9.8% return in 2023. Basically, I know the year's not quite over yet, but let's pretend, you know, as of whatever day, December 10th or something, when I checked the numbers, you know, basically the end of the year, 9.8% on a 50% cash position. In other words, they would have done much better had they left it alone. But 9.8 is good for sure. But I wanted to just share this story for those reasons. I want to, you know, emphasize that the portfolio is flexible. We can make changes when people want to make changes. But I also wanted to touch on the 100% death benefit guarantee, which again, I'm going to expand on later on with the mailbag. So stay tuned for that. A bit of a longer explanation as to how that works. And just explain that, you know, this is part of what we're doing here at avoidprobate.ca. I already have the death certificate, and I'm going to go meet with the spouse, like I said, later this week. And the spouse has two options here. Let me make one more, explain one more thing about this situation here. The spouse in this case was not the beneficiary. The spouse was the successor annuitant. What's the difference between a beneficiary and successor annuitant? That is an important question that is difficult for a lot of people to answer. I'll tell you what the difference is. Ted, you're the beneficiary of my TFSA. I mm-hmm. pass away, you get the money. Simple mm-hmm. as that. Everyone's familiar with the beneficiary, right? The money's yours. Do whatever you want, right? Congratulations. Successor annuitant is not the same. You're my successor annuitant. You now own the TFSA. So it's not a payout to Ted. It's just making Ted the new owner. And Ted's not my spouse, so he can't be my successor annuitant. That's a bad example in that case, but I'm just illustrating the difference between the two. Most people are familiar with what a beneficiary is. Most people are not familiar with what a successor annuitant is. And there are advantages to being a successor annuitant because you have more options. And now you can just take over the TFSA whether or not you have the room, right? The TFSA being a registered account, the restrictions that apply to it, well, one of the restrictions is the contribution room is limited. The contribution room in 2024 is going to go up to $7,000 for that year, but that's it. You can't put in $100,000 in your TFSA. There's limits. It's registered. There's limits to registered accounts. But if you're the
successor, there's no limit as to how high you can take that. Like if you
that's right
$7,000 a year, you know, in 10 years from now you could have $100,000 in there.
You could have $1 million in there. Mm. You know, however the investment performs. That's great. And the whole thing is tax-free, no matter how big it grows, which is really cool. So I wanted to make that point to you. That's the other reason I almost forgot. That's the other reason I wanted to share this story, is because I wanted to remind the listeners that there's other options besides a beneficiary. Sometimes the successor annuitant option is not always available, but it was in this case. So that's what we went with. And the surviving spouse will now just take over the account. She can cash it out. It's hers. She can do whatever she wants with it. So we're not restricting her options. We're giving her more options by just being able to take it over regardless of her own individual contribution room. Mm-hmm. So I hope that makes sense. Okay. Anyway, I wanted to touch on those. Like I said, there's a lot going on in this one file. So I wanted to touch on all of it a little bit. If you have questions about any of that, it's a no charge consultation. Please give us a call anytime and we'll book a meeting and we'll come out to your place, explain it in more details, look at your own situation, make recommendations based on your situation and see if we can help you that way. Let's take another break. We'll come back right after this.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
A diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease or dementia for you or someone in your life can be challenging. You don't have to face it alone, especially when help and support are so close at hand. The Alzheimer's Society of Ontario can connect you with experts, education and care, valuable resources, and people who really want to help. Connect with us. The Alzheimer's Society of Ontario at ourconnectionsmatter.com.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
And welcome back once again to our pre-Christmas Christmas special. We mentioned that because today is the 17th of December. Next week is the 24th. We will not be on the air next week because the radio station, it will be playing Christmas music in the spirit of the thing. So today is our version of a Christmas special. So if we seem a little Christmassy to you, that's why. And we should let you know, by the way, that each and every week, no matter what time of the year it is, the information we provide is for general consumption only. It's not intended to provide particular legal or investment advice. However, because every situation is different and you happen to have a legal or investment question, you can come to us because we have experts on hand. And in order to come to us, you don't have to literally drive here. You can call us toll-free 1-844-667-7628. That's 1-844-667-7628 or info@avoidprobate.ca is our email address, info@avoidprobate.ca. And it is time for our email bag.
I think we're going to start with Colin He's eager to jump in and share his update on social media stuff. Is that right, Colin?
Yeah. Happy pre-Christmas show, Jason and Ted. Good to talk to you.
It's pre-Christmas / happy birthday show.
Right. Yes.
It's a big celebration all around today.
That's right. Colin Gies, by the way, is the Vice President of Business Development and Client Services. So what do you got on your mind, Colin?
Well, we've got some exciting things coming up in the new year. I know we're a bit ahead of schedule here, but I just wanted to remind everybody that we have this fantastic tool on our website, www.avoidprobate.ca. You land on our page. There's tons of resources and information there. When you scroll down to the bottom, you'll see us sign up to our newsletter and get updates for our radio show and podcast. You can fill in your name, your email address, and then you click submit. And that's it. And every week, you'll receive an email from us with the latest show. If you're not up in the morning or you want somebody to hear the show that isn't up at 8 a.m. on Sunday mornings, you can direct them to our website. They can complete that subscription, and every week they'll get the new podcast. It gives you a summary, and you can listen at your leisure wherever you are, if you're down south, if you're at the cottage, anywhere outside of Zoomerland. So please, please continue to do that. We've had great response, and we just like to keep in touch.
Yeah, for sure. We probably, you know, we're not telling people to not listen to the radio station. Of course, we want you to listen to the radio station as much as possible. But like Colin said, if you're out of town or you miss an episode, and you know, we get those phone calls. I get those phone calls on a regular basis where someone will call me and they'll be apologizing. They'll say, "Sorry, Jason, I missed Sunday's show. I just had this family thing, or I was sick, or whatever." And I'm like, "That's okay. You know, we can hear it anytime you want because of the podcast that's available." And just to remind the listeners, the podcast, we use the term podcast. We're just describing the show after it's aired. We're taking a copy of the show and putting it somewhere else so that you can listen to it. And that's called a podcast. But it is the radio. It's exactly the same as what you're hearing right now.
Sorry to interrupt you, but I just wanted to highlight there too, on the website, there is a listen to the show option. So if somebody does miss or wants to hear a show again, because there was some things that they wanted to review and they forgot, all of the shows are accessible there. So you can scroll through the list of podcasts. They're all highlighted and titled with the topic of the day. You can scroll right back to the very first show and listen to them all in sequence. I can't think of a better way to spend your Christmas holidays than
that's right.
24/7 Avoid Probate show. Who needs music?
Exactly. All right. Thanks, Colin. Thanks for the update, and have a good Christmas.
Thank you very much. Congratulations, before. Ted. 70 big shoes to fill there. Inspiring.
All the best, my friend.
Keep it going. Bye, guys.
Later.
Here's the email bag. Hi, Jason. On a number of your shows, you recommend moving unregistered investments to a life insurance company where a beneficiary can be named and the funds do not flow through the estate. While I know a segregated fund form and sure can be used, I'm a little old to consider locking in the money for 10 years. Are there products available from an insurer other than what might be in a TFSA that would work? Okay, I'm a little confused by that question, but I'm sure you're not.
I'm not. Thanks, Ted. I get it. That's why I chose this email to share with the listeners today. A couple of things happening here. So, yes, on a number of our shows, we do recommend moving unregistered investment money. We probably recommend it every week. I hope so. I certainly try to, at the risk of sounding like a broken record. You know, part of the solution to avoiding probate, part of our solution to avoiding probate is a transfer of non-registered money from the bank to an insurance company so that we can put beneficiaries on that money. And by having those beneficiaries on the account, that's the simplest way to avoid the probate. and we take care of all that paperwork, let's say, that the transition, the transfer of those funds. We take care of all that and set up a new account, and let's call it apples to apples. You know, we're not talking about life insurance. It's just another destination for your investment portfolio, your investment account. It doesn't have to be at the bank. Most people know it doesn't have to be at the bank, but most people don't know that the insurance company is an option. And frankly, a fantastic option with many advantages other than just avoiding the probate. I'm going to talk about one of those advantages now, because in this letter, this writer, this listener talks about something, refers to locking the money in for 10 years. Okay, let's be really clear here. When we do the transfer from the bank to the insurance company, the money is never locked in for one day. We never lock in our client's money. That's one of the reasons I don't like GICs very much. There are options, and I don't like you know, handcuffing anybody with lock-ins. That doesn't make sense to me when I know that there's options available. When you don't know that there's an option available, I get it. You don't know what you don't know. But what this listener is referring to when he says 10 years, the insurance companies provide something called a 10-year maturity guarantee. Sometimes it's 10, sometimes it's 15. In any case, it's a maturity guarantee that is being referenced here, although it doesn't say so in those words. And it's kind of, honestly, Ted, it's a bit of a silly marketing thing that I'm not a fan of, which is why I never talk about it. I never use it as one of the advantages to the seg funds. There's enough other advantages. We don't have to talk about the maturity guarantee. And the way it works is like this. It's very simple. Ted, we move your $50,000 to the insurance company today. And what they're saying is, if you leave it with them in this account for 10 years, they will guarantee you that the account will be worth at least $50,000. You will not lose 10 cents on the account if it stays with the insurance company for that maturity guarantee period of time, whether it's 10 years or 15 years, depends on the insurance company. Mm-hmm. That's not bad. It's not a bad thing, of course, but it is kind of silly in my mind because, you know what, Ted, I would personally guarantee you that, you know, your money 10 years from now will be worth at least what it is worth today. How does that not happen if it's being invested properly in any way at all? Of course, it's going to be worth at least what it is worth today. 10 years is a long time to have your money invested. So we expect, you know, much, much better results than, you know, even money 10 years later. That's not our goal at all. We want to grow this thing. Rule of 72, right? How does it work? Divide into 72 your interest rate, and that tells you how many years it takes for your money to double. So that's what we're looking for. We want to double it in 10 years for sure. But that's what the maturity, but the other problem with the maturity guarantee, and this is a big problem, the insurance companies let you lock in your gains with a reset. We've talked about resets before. Beautiful feature of the seg funds, let you lock in your gain so that the new minimum that pays out is greater. Every time you trigger a reset, lock in the gain, you're raising the floor. The problem is when you take advantage of that feature, which is a great feature, and we use it all the time. We used it a lot this year because the markets were great and our clients did very, very well this year. So we're triggering resets for everybody. When you trigger a reset, you're also resetting the clock on the maturity period. So now you're starting at year zero again for 10 years. Now you got another 10 years to go. So if you're taking advantage of this reset feature and locking in your gains, you are never going to get through a 10-year period of time. You're never going to get to the maturity date. So it's kind of silly. The death benefit guarantee, however, is a different animal. And that's something I really do like. That's another feature of the insurance company's seg fund solution. And that just simply means, you know, if you pass away anytime, if your investment is worth less than what it was when you started, the insurance company tops up the difference and pays out the shortfall so that your beneficiaries receive at least what your investment started out as. Mm-hmm. Using the $50,000 as an example, if for some reason, you know, when you passed away, your $50,000 was worth $48,500 because of some market volatility, Well, that's a $1,500 deficit, let's say, and the insurance company would make good on that and make sure that your beneficiaries received the full 50 grand. So that's a guarantee that I think is more important than the maturity guarantee that this listener's referring to. But I thank the listener for taking the time to write. The last line, I should comment, you know, other products available from an insurer other than what might be in a TFSA. I don't know why the TFSA is highlighted here. We can use the TFSA or any other type of account. TFSA is a registered account, of course. We talked about registered accounts earlier in the show. And I mentioned before that we do manage, in addition to the non-registered money, which is the problem with the probate, the tracks probate, if it's at the bank, because there's no beneficiary on it, all the time we're managing registered accounts for people as well, just because they want a better product. And they want these other advantages. They want the death benefit guarantees that I just referenced. So the death benefit guarantee applies to registered accounts and non-registered accounts. So I hope that answers the question, the listener's question. I did respond already by email. We do reply by email. We just pick, we select some random emails to share with the listeners, like Ted says, because, you know, your questions benefit other people. So thank you again for taking the time to write in. And if you have questions, listeners, please write us a quick email. I'm not saying we're going to use all of them, obviously, on the show as an example. We'll pick and choose, but we'll certainly reply to all your questions. Ted, have you got an update with your podcast? Your podcast?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of something, not kind of something, it's something unique for us. I have a good friend who hosts a weekly podcast called Remembering with Jeff Sammet. That's his name. He and I worked together years ago. And each week he recalls an individual that has left us, or an historic event, and talks to people surrounding that event or people who knew someone who had passed, and they share their memories with that individual. Well, he approached me and asked me, because I was friends with John Candy, and he asked me if I wanted to share my memories with John Candy. And I suggested a mutual friend of ours, Brett Gallagher, who worked with John when John was one of the owners of the Toronto Argonauts. And so Brett and I got together with Jeff on his program, and we spent a better part of an hour, I guess, talking about John and memories with John Candy. And I asked him if it was okay if we rebroadcast that on my channel, on my podcast. And he said, sure. So that's what we're doing. You're going to hear somebody else's podcast where my podcast normally occurs.
Neat.
So, yeah. So we'll be replaying Jeff Sammet's Remembering with Jeff Sammet, focusing in on the life and times of John Candy. And those stories will come from me and from a mutual friend, Brett Gallagher. So I think you'll find it interesting. If you're a John Candy fan, and most people
who wasn't? I was just going to say, yeah, who wasn't a John Candy fan?
Yeah, that's true. So it was a lot of fun chatting about John, and kind of bittersweet as well, because he left us way too young.
Yeah.
He was in his early 40s when he passed. So, but a lot of good memories, a lot of happy memories.
Yeah, for sure. What quite the resume, though, you know, that he left us with. Body of work, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're lucky. Well, okay, Ted, I want to thank all the contributors and people who helped make this show work, and there's some people behind the scenes. Ian Robertson is our producer behind the glass, and I want to say Merry Christmas to everybody as well. You know, Debbie Stanley's not here at the moment, but she was here earlier, and I want to thank Debbie and say Merry Christmas to Debbie and to you, and a happy birthday again to you. Colin Gies was here a few minutes ago. Merry Christmas to Colin. And there are other people behind the scenes as well. Mom, the secretary. Hi, Mom. She takes your phone calls when you call in on the toll-free number to book that no-charge consultation. So Merry Christmas to Shirley and the rest of the team at avoidprobate.ca. I hope you have a great Christmas. We'll talk. We'll be back.
Ian has promised, Ian Robertson, who's our technical production producer, is also a musician. He has a rockabilly band. What's the name of your band?
Yeah, I play in a rockabilly band called the Shook Boys.
Shook Boys. And in the new year, maybe even next week, who knows?
Who knows?
We're going to get a sampling of his music, so you, you're familiar with not only the voice. And
that's putting it on the spot here.
Yeah.
Yep, love to hear it. We are back one more time before the year's over on the New Year's Eve morning show. if you know what I mean. So this is not our last show of 2023, but it is our last show, as we've said a couple times before Christmas. Enjoy the Christmas music a week today. Have a great holiday, everybody. Thanks to the listeners for joining us today. We'll be back, like I said, in 2 weeks. So Merry Christmas, Ted.
Merry Christmas to you, Jason. Merry Christmas to you, Ian, and to all our listeners. Merry Christmas, and have a happy holiday.
Bye for now.
You've been listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler. Heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.